Well, we're going to continue to talk about the law of faith. How many of you know you can't out-teach faith? Since the whole kingdom is faith. You can always talk about faith and you be right on time. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's just go back over a few things before we move to the next point that I want to share this morning. We have already established that faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's the only way faith comes. Now that we got that platform, we won't keep trying to get faith, and you can't pray for faith. You must get in the word, because that's how faith comes. And then we said that faith is encoded in the word. All the faith you will ever need for anything in your life is already in the word. It is part of the DNA of the word. Faith is in there. Hallelujah. Then we said the word is the seed that has to be planted in us so that the power or the ability that is in that word, seed, to reproduce in us, that word can be done. So we got to plant it in us. The Bible, David says, I've hidden the word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Why? Because planting the word, that's the only way the seed can take root. It has to be planted in the soil of the heart. So faith that's in that word can reproduce in you what the word said it would do. It has to be planted. Say it has to be planted. And then we said that God's word is pre-programmed to produce when a demand is placed upon it by a person who understands the power of the spoken word. It will not produce until there is a demand placed on it. So it just doesn't happen just because you're studying the word. A demand has to be. Remember I gave you the example about going to the bank? You have money in the bank, but until you put a demand on it, it's just in the bank. Hallelujah. And then we share with you that faith comes faster when you hear yourself speaking the word of God. You will grab, the faith will come real, more real to you when you speak the word. And it'll be more real to you than if I keep saying it to you every day. When it's coming out of your mouth and coming back inside of you, faith gets planted real fast. This is why we must confess the word. And then we must call from the unseen realm into the seen realm what we want to happen. Because everything we need is in the unseen realm. And our imagination sees it before we actually handle it. Hallelujah. And then we talked about all things have been commanded to respond to the word of faith. There's not a thing on this earth that's not commanded, from wood to plastic to chairs to trees to the river to food. Everything has been given a command from God to respond to a person that talks in faith. And guess what it can't do? It can't not obey you. It must obey you. It's encoded to obey faith. Just like last night, my neighbors were having a party. And I had to turn my music on. You know, they started at 6:30. And here I am in the prime time of my meditating. I'm going like, help me, Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, open up your mouth. So, you know, I'm trying. That's okay. I got to obey the code of the community. They got at least to 9 o'clock, right? 8:35, they still, and I mean, they had speakers lined around the gates as though they were trying to do a party for the whole community. And it was louder than it's ever been before. And I said, now, angels, you go, I don't care if you got to unhook it. Shut it down. Because I got to spend time. And I looked, and I turned my praise and worship on and just start praying in tongues. 10 minutes go by. Everything's silent. I said, that's what I'm talking about. See, I didn't get mad with the people. I spoke to the situation. You said, well, maybe they knew the 9 o'clock was coming. No, they never obeyed it before. That's why they kept getting tickets. They never obeyed it before. All right, turn to Mark. Some of y'all know the problem we had over there with them. They were take over the whole cul-de-sac and park like didn't nobody live in the cul-de-sac but them. You couldn't even get out your driveway. They didn't have any regard for you. That's the way the devil is. He doesn't have any regard for you, so you got to stop giving him a break. Because every time you give him a break, he's breaking you. Mark 11, let's start at verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Now see, this is an indication that when as a believer, see, faith makes you productive. When you're not walking in faith, people can go by you year after year and nothing seems to change enough in your life to make a difference in someone else's. See, that's an unproductive person. Now, you may not have to produce like I have to produce, but you still have to produce. Because it's required, say it's required. And you can't be in faith and there's no productivity. Faith always produces. Come on, say that. Faith always produces. And it had a fake sign up as though it was ready. See, my dad used to grow fig trees, so I understood this parable very well. We had three of them in our yard. And when the leaves showed up, the fig was already present. The leaves should have never showed up without the fig. Something was happening in that tree. And Jesus said, what did Jesus do about it? Jesus said, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, it made it sound like it wasn't time for the figs. No, it meant what it's saying is that the figs should have been there, but they weren't there. Because that's the way the fig tree works. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So why would Jesus curse that tree if the tree was okay in the state that it was in? It wasn't aligning with what it was called to do. See, it was a faith tree. Say a faith tree. Because everything that God created got faith in it. And in the way God made it and designed it, it was not operating according to what it was designed to do. When the leaves showed up, figs was present. That's the way God designed that tree. Ooh, Jesus. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them. Now go down to a verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. You ever seen a tree dried up from the root? It looks some kind of ugly. I mean, it's so shriveled. Because there's no life in it. Mm. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have the faith of God. Now it says have faith in God. But it's saying have the faith of God. So let me keep reading. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, say I am a whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He says, if your mouth and your heart lines up together. See, it's a fake environment when your heart and your mouth saying two different things. And it creates non-productivity. You can't get a product when your heart and your mouth is out of alignment. They both must be in faith. According to Romans 10, that's where we must what? Confess and believe in our heart. And that's how faith works. Faith needs those things to be in alignment for it to work, to bring a product to pass. And it says you can speak just like that. Now watch this. Here's something that we don't always read. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. When you gonna believe? You believe before you pray. And what we do in a lot of instances, we try to believe after we pray. And it doesn't work that way. Faith says, when I go to speak, I'm already present. Okay, let me say it to you again. When I go to pray, faith must be present for what I'm praying for, or else I won't get it. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What we try to do is get up off our knees and then start believing. You missed the whole prayer. I know I'm helping you. Because that's the way we operate. We operate backwards a lot of times. You know, we do things backwards. And this is why God got us on this road. Because he wants you to be productive. He wants you to get what you've been desiring. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour it on you. I'm telling you, he wants to pour it on you. But when you go to pray, you must already be in faith, which means I have got to have the word on what I'm asking for. I just can't pray out of my emotions because I'm having a hard time and start crying and praying that way. No, I'm not praying out of my emotions. I must pray from the platform of the word of faith. Ooh. How many times have we prayed and never involved the word? We're praying our condition, our situation, and not the word of faith. And when you stand praying, forgive. This is the part we don't ever put in this. We always stop right there at verse, at that part, 23. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. What is Jesus saying? Jesus saying that if you don't forgive, you're not walking in faith. There's no such thing as you being in faith and you walking in unforgiveness. So I can't harbor something against somebody that's been 20 years old or even 5 minutes ago because it's impacting my faith. Are you hearing me? Everything I do is impacting my faith. This is why words are so important. We have to get a hold of our words. We got to learn how to talk like Jesus. Talk like what the word says for us to say. And then forgive instantly. That's one thing I love about forgiveness. It's not based on how I feel. It's based on the decision I make to obey this word. Lord, you told me to forgive them, so I forgive them. And my feelings just had to catch up with right now. You know my feelings. But we're not going to talk my feelings, because if I talk my feelings, I'm going to get out of position with you. And I ain't got time to be out of position. I got too much on the line. I'm believing you for too many things. See, the devil tried to get you upset. He'll get you mad with somebody you don't even know. How many of y'all been in your car and you get upset with somebody jump in front of you on the highway? And you never say, Lord, forgive me, because I shouldn't have got angry with that person. They didn't hear you no way. But you angry with them. And these are called, I call residing angers. We don't ever ask for forgiveness for that stuff. But do you know that's impacting your ability to have faith in time of need? This is why you need to forgive instantly. Go ahead and start practicing it. Forgive instantly. I know. Some of y'all laughing. Some of y'all going, Pastor, that's kind of, no. You got to learn how to forgive immediately. I don't care who it is and what they've done. You got to learn how to forgive instantly. Why? Your prayers is under attack. Your ability to believe is under attack. This is why, especially you married people, you can't stay in disagreements. Y'all ain't getting no prayer answer. You can bombard all you want to. I don't know what gates you bombarding, but sure ain't the gates of heaven. And you mad with your spouse. Not going to work. Now, you know, the devil will answer you and make it look like it's God. So you can remain like you are, because he already know that if you surrender to him that way, you're deceived. See, you're deceived. But you cannot be in faith and unforgiveness. So Jesus told us that, because all that's connected to faith. All that's connected to how you talk. Now look at Matthew 13. I mean, it's a specific way of doing everything. You know, we're learning protocol. And look at verse 31 and 32. Ooh, Jesus. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, see, faith is supposed to develop. You're not supposed to have the same, it's the same faith, but it's supposed to be developed more. And what we've been, we're not concentrating on our development. We're concentrating on getting things. Getting a need met. And you're robbing yourself of a development of faith. Because Jesus told you, you're not even supposed to consider those things. You're supposed to cast that on him, because he cares for you. So we're violating the Faith Act already. I'm not supposed to be concerned about my day-to-day living. How I'm going to live, where I'm going to stay, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drive, if my kids got shoes. See, these are not your day-to-day concern. Jesus said, don't put your faith there. Seek you the kingdom and God's way of doing things, and all those things will be added to you. And what we do, we spend our whole prayer time trying to get a need met. Your faith is out of order. It should be developing for work. It's not a cuss word. That's what you were designed to do, is to work like God. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree. See, it becomes a tree. Faith got levels to it, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So, in other words, my faith must get so strong that somebody else can eat from my harvest. We've been eating the seed, the harvest, everything, which produces no faith. You can't violate faith rules and be in faith. Look at Mark 4:31. Well, let's look at verse 30. It's similar, the same. It's the same parable, but I'm going to show it to you again. Look at Mark 4:30. Now, y'all going to believe what Jesus said, right? This is what Jesus is saying. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is planted, when faith is planted, it groweth up. Oh, faith can grow. You know, when we was coming up, I don't know if they still do that today. People get in the prayer line. Pray for more faith, that my faith be strong. No, you need a word. Regiment. And I mean, people still may be doing it today. Get in the prayer line asking for more faith. You have faith. You must develop faith. All of us been given the same measure of faith. Now, how you handle faith is up to you. Whether you be weak or strong in faith. But when it is sown, it groweth up and become greater than all herbs. See, faith will put you in a position where it's greater than all the stuff you're dealing with. And shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Woo, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Turn to Luke 17. I'm about ready to get happy. Luke 17, look at verse 5 through 6. You're going to validate what I've been saying to you. Because Jesus gave them the answer. Look at verse 5, Luke 17. And the apostle said unto the Lord, do what? Increase our faith. What they praying for? They praying for increase in faith. Jesus gives them the answer, and Jesus says, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, this is where a lot of people saying about the size. He's not talking about the size. He's talking about the properties. I'm going to show that to you in a minute. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should what? Obey you. It should obey you. Why? Because it's been commanded to obey you. Everything is a faith thing, and it has the command on it to obey you. He said the reason it don't obey you, because you're not rooted in faith. It's not the problem of the thing. The thing is not the issue. Faith is. Jesus said, you must plant faith to get what you to have increase. You must plant faith to get increase. Come on, say, I must plant faith to get increase. Now let's talk a little bit about the mustard seed. Y'all might, you're gonna have to go back and listen to this because you're not gonna be able to write as much as I have on the mustard seed. Do you not know it? I understand why it can't be cross-pollinated. You can't mix another seed with it. It is so pure in its essence. And it's got so many medicinal purposes. I'm going like, oh my God, we've been missing it. No wonder the world don't want you to know about natural things. Because it'll get rid of your problem. Are you ready for this? The mustard seed, it is rich in fiber, selenium, manganese, and magnesium, which boosts the immune system, maintains various body mechanisms, and are crucial for bone health. It is filled with numerous antioxidants, although bitter in taste. But when chewed raw, mustard seeds will bring immediate, relief to headaches. Goodbye, some of them with them alphabets on it. Y'all know what y'all take. It will stop back spasms. Congestion, and it will also clear up constipation. It contains antibacterial and antifungal properties. It fights off infection in the digestive system. It cures bacteria and fungal skin infections. It has anti-cancer properties for breast cancer, lungs, GI tract, and prostate cancer. You're not going to hear this when you can take a dose of mustard. A half a teaspoon a day. Oh, God. You see how, no wonder Jesus used this because it's so pure in its essence. The white mustard, which is the yellow mustard when it's processed, seed mixed with honey, clears the voice. Helps heal wounds. Lowers blood pressure. A half a teaspoon taken daily is recommended to lower your blood pressure. And you can use the regular mustard that you get in the yellow bottle or the Dijon mustard. For those are the most potent ones that we can have without eating the raw mustard itself. planted in your garden can prevent erosion and suppress weeds. It keeps soil-borne pathogens that may cause pests and disease to your garden. Jesus said, if you plant the mustard seed, ain't nothing gonna come out of it but faith. You can't plant the word and get fear. Because you is a pure seed. Faith is pure in its essence. You can't plant faith and get mixed nothing. That's why he used the mustard seed as his example. Because you can't mix it with nothing. It can't be contaminated with nothing else. It is so pure in its essence. Woo, Jesus. Jesus said if you plant pure faith from the word, you would be able to speak to things, situation, all kinds of people. You'll be able to speak, and they will have to obey the voice of faith. No such thing as it can't or it won't. It has to. And although the mustard seed starts out small in size, it has massive, say massive, potential. Ha, glory. Glory, glory, glory. When we operate in faith, the faith that God, Jesus authored and finished, faith has massive potential. There, Jesus said, nothing becomes impossible to the faith person. Over in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. So the problem is not the thing. It's not even your issue. If you can have faith, pure faith, it cannot be mixed because it would stop being faith. If you try to mix it with anything else, it stopped being faith. If you can believe, all things, somebody say all things, are possible to him that believes. So the problem is not your situation. It's not your money. Can you believe? Are you in faith? Come on, stand to your feet.